Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Yep, time to talk all things Ekasinomics. And as you would know by now, this is essentially where we profile amazing entrepreneurs who are growing, who are shaping new sectors and industries, looking for scale, and most importantly, providing innovative solutions that we can look forward to seeing and participating in. Our guest this evening is someone who has a great level of industry expertise and very innovative in terms of his thinking, primarily participating in the InsurTech space. He's well-traveled, recently completed his master's, and of course also had the opportunity to fall in love with the theme of digital insurance technology. So much so that he crafted a business that has a focus in this area. Working with key players and leaders within the insurance industry, he's looking to make sure that he's able to address the needs of everyone, from those in the medical space, logistics and transport, automotive, commercial property, and even content creators. I'm joined now in studio by Junior Mlondo Buzi, founder of Entresure. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Lovely to be here.
Fantastic. Excited to speak to you together with the feedback that you have from your colleagues who are joining you. But for those who are listening, they've heard me introduce this as a InsurTech business, digital innovation. Yeah, you even give content creators insurance. Help us understand in your words what Entresure does.
So, in simple terms, Entresure is a digital-first intermediary that, you know, strives to assist SMMEs, startups, entrepreneurs, freelancers get simplified insurance, and we also strive to make it more accessible. You know, when you're starting a business as an entrepreneur, the last thing on your mind is insurance, and even when that conversation does get sparked up somewhere, somehow, whether you're applying for funding and so on, it somewhat seems a daunting task because you either think it's very expensive or you're going to pick up the phone and the guy's going to be like, oh, how big is your business? Mm. You know, you're like, maybe I'm too small for it. And then you just carry on. So that's what we want to address. We want to make it simplified in a way that every single business person can understand, regardless of whether you're in day one or you're in day 150.
Yeah.
And make it accessible. As long as you have any internet-enabled device, you're able to get through to us.
Got you. And I think what's important for us to remember is that, as you're saying, you're making insurance accessible to various entrepreneurs. Help us contextualize how you do this, because you haven't gone back to recreate the wheel. You've just found an innovative way to actually deliver insurance to entrepreneurs.
So a key thing that has to do a bit with my background. So I completed my master's about 5 years ago, and my master's dissertation was essentially around the survival of intermediaries, you know, as we call them, brokers in our side of the side of the world.
I wanted to put it brashly and say, "Abantu abathengisa insurance."
Yes, so we were like, I looked and studied their survival and wrote around that, and in part, my focus was mainly on commercial because I've been in the commercial space as of today. Probably about 9 years working in the commercial space, and I didn't see any better focus point. And I realized that through my studies and checking, researching on a global scale and then bringing it down back to South Africa in itself, because I did my master's in Italy, that the only way for intermediaries to survive is if they're digital first movers, meaning that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The traditional insurers have built up that wheel. It's vast. It's rolling. It's not stopping. The key thing is you look at the inefficiencies to say, guys, how do we make this better? So don't focus on trying to bring about a revolution, but bring about evolution, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to work together to bring more value to the customers.
That's a beautiful nugget right there. Don't focus on bringing about a revolution. Focus on the evolution. So how it is that we make it better. And I think this is important for us to underscore, because as you've said, you're finding new ways of actually being digital first to actually keep the survival and maintain the survival of intermediaries. That also means you've had to partner with the big boys to make sure that you get this done. Looking at the list of some of your underwriting partners, I'm hoping I can mention them.
Well, yeah, you can. You can.
Perfect.
The list is a bit exhaustive, but we just have a few on the site. But yeah.
Yes, 100%. And I guess that's just to name a few, because we do often speak to them, the likes of Hollard, Discovery Insure, and Guard Risk. And I'm keen to understand how it is that you, number one, as an entrepreneur, position yourself to partner not only with these key players in the industry, but most importantly, multiple partners. Because what it also means is that you are allowing the diversity in the products that they have to actually reach the diverse consumer segments that we also have in the market. So twofold question, the competitive edge to have all of them say we want to work and partner with you, but also still being malleable enough to have the flexibility to work with all of them.
Yeah. So one of the key things, and it's part of our philosophy of saying that we want to find tailor-made, we want to create tailor-made products for our clients based on the industry that they're in.
Yes.
And with the industry in itself, there are particular underwriters that are specialists in certain fields, and they have certain products that go over and beyond what the market is. You know, I'm not going to talk about who's the best at what.
Of course, sure.
Not to step on anyone's toes. But the reason why we haven't tied ourselves to one particular underwriter is because we want to offer our customers the best of the best. So it's to say, tomorrow at Insurer X, they're a specialist in motor. They've got a specialist motor retailer's product. We're able to say, when you go on our platform and get a motor retailer's product, you know that you're going to be getting a specialist product from Insurer X at the best price. And so on, depending on those industries. Hence, when you do go on our platform, we ask you, what industry are you in? Mm-hmm. And then from there, we tell you, these are the covers that are somewhat semi-mandatory in this industry, so that we're then able to quick, fast, get it to the other side and get you the proper quote.
100%. Some might actually say, okay, well, you're actually looking to support intermediaries, but you sound like you're the intermediary yourself. You've got the reach and the access to literally remove a good 50, 500, even more salespeople on the ground. So help us understand how, as an entrepreneur, of course, this, you know, adds to your growth and the scale that you're looking to attain, but also just ensuring that the ecosystem does thrive by having intermediaries actively participate.
So, you know, our business is twofold. You know, we've got the B2C element, which is obviously customers accessing our platform directly. And we also allow other intermediaries to actually work on our platform.
Okay.
So, but the key element for us is to assist in helping the industry in itself continue being sustainable. So the accessibility part is to say, a person who's sitting in Umtata right now, starting a business today, doesn't have to wait for somebody to give them taxi fare or someone to go to town to a broker's office. Mm-hmm. They can literally sit at the local internet cafe if they don't have access to the internet yet and be able to access Entrysure and say, look, can I please get a quote? And we're able to assist them. So it's to say, wherever you are in South Africa, as long as you have connectivity, we're able to do that. And what that then helps is that it's to say that even the traditional insurers now don't have to commit funds for travel, where people are now traveling to just go meet these people, which also for us provided that exclusionary part of excluding the much smaller of the small, because you now look at, I'm going to leave Johannesburg and then drive to the ends of Pretoria just to write a 300 rand premium. Whereas if you're able to get the same lead while you're in the office, from a costing perspective, we can then pass those savings down to the businesses themselves, which are our customers.
100%. If you've just joined us, it is about 22 minutes before 8 o'clock, and we are with our Ekasinomics guest, Junior Mlondo Buzi, who joins us as the founder of Entrysure. As you've heard, it is a platform that is a niche, both playing in the B2C, business-to-customer, and business-to-business environment, ensuring that it democratizes access, really, to insurance platforms and companies through using the use of technology. So we have certainly been taking a look at the amazing stance and development of your business, the growth that you found, but I'm intrigued. Maybe let's talk a little bit more about your entrepreneurial journey. And if I'm not mistaken, a spark developed in high school. You also worked with your dad. Give us some context, because anyone listening right now might, you know, be wondering, okay, where did this journey start and how has it evolved to see you here today?
So, I mean, a quick brief background. My dad, for me, is a pioneer. Mm-hmm. He started his insurance journey around 2002, before, you know, people of color were actually many in the industry.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy for him starting then, but I mean, he fought through, and yeah. So, shout out to him, you know. So I grew up in a family of entrepreneurship was always all around, mm-hmm. and discipline was a key thing, and you always had to perform. And yeah, so school holidays, I was in my dad's office. I hated insurance at the time because I was like, what is going on here?
Right?
You know, like, and also, why am I being forced to be here? My friends are out playing. And
you're filing papers. You're making sure they paid up their premiums, that their statements are in order.
Yo, I dreaded this industry. And, you know, there came a time, I think I was around 16, for some reason, you know, I needed a bit of extra pocket money. I don't remember what exactly I had done, but my dad stopped giving me an allowance. And then I came up with a business of designing and printing t-shirts. So my cousin and I would walk to Jet, buy t-shirts, I'd design on the computer, then walk to the print store, print them and sell them. And you know, I look back now, I'm like, oh, that was my first entry to entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a tough question in school when they asked, what do you want to do? You know, so I was like, I want to be a lawyer, or maybe I want to be an accountant or whatnot. But yeah, and then we carried on, you know, the family business grew, and I always felt like I was being forced to work in this thing, you know. And then I think my dad pushed me to write my RE exams somewhere in 2016.
RE stands for?
Regulatory exams.
Got you.
Yeah.
In insurance.
In insurance. But I was like, when am I ever going to use this thing? I mean, I'm that other side. That time I'm studying accounting and also working in retail with him. When I finally finished my accounting degree, I went to work with him full-time, 100% now. And we worked in the commercial side and the public sector side. And then I think he realized that, man, this guy doesn't have that passion. So he's like, look, you're free to do what you want. But I think if you could go and study and further your studies in insurance, you'd like this thing. I took it as an opportunity to leave the country.
Yeah.
I went, I did my master's in insurance and risk in Trieste, Italy. And that's when I fell in love with insurance. You know, there
was just
something.
Let's talk about that. You're right.
That, yeah.
So clearly the spark was always there. You had the opportunity to have the exposure through your dad's business and, of course, even the experience on the ground, and then went on an international stage and really then got influenced by the global thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, where we really want to hear more of your insight, because coming back home, you need to start this platform. There's regulatory approvals. There's capital mm-hmm. that you need. It's the relationships that you also need to go out and forge and the trust that you need to build with all these key players. And also, you're a young player, and you're competing with people who have had books and clients sometimes for 3 decades on end, right? So talk to us about that, because I'm sure there's some key lessons you can share as an entrepreneur around the persistence, the resilience that you had to endure, and also finding innovative ways of seeking opportunity.
So first and foremost, I'd like to say me coming back into the country was a huge gamble and it was against my family's wishes. So as I fell in love with insurance, right, I realized that, okay, I've always loved technology. How do I merge these two things? And then I was like, okay, I'm already writing a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I can turn this thing into a business.
Gotcha.
And there was a voice that was telling me, go home and you can do this thing. So that time, you know, I'll tell you this. I didn't know how this thing was going to work out. I had 2 job offers. A very large reinsurance company in Munich,
mm-hmm.
and another one at a very large insurance company in Munich also.
Okay, so I can think of one, so I've got that, yeah.
Yeah, so 2 of the largest German institutions.
Yeah.
And I came home to, like, just briefly, but in my mind, I had already decided that, no, I'm going to start this thing, unbeknownst to my father. So I think I missed my visa appointment. He wasn't happy about that.
Yeah.
To me, I was like, okay, that was the final sign. I'm staying.
The journey. So now you need to speak to all these underwriters, right? How do you do that? The regulatory approval, beyond just the CIPC and registration of your business. How did you manage the rest?
So, the great thing was that I had been in the industry, but I had never founded a company. So, I mean, this, I founded the company within the 3 months that my father and I were not talking, because he said I was throwing away a massive opportunity by being here. But for me, once I set my mind to something, I go for it.
Sure.
So starting, obviously, I started researching the license around, and then I reached out to our compliance officer about obviously getting the license. And fortunately, since I had written my regulatory exams 4 years prior to me coming back and starting my business, I'd already served under supervision for the 2 year period. So it made that a bit easier to obviously start the licensing process, mm-hmm. because you have to do the time. You know, you have to work in the industry. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, I'd worked in the industry. From a capital perspective, you know, fortunately, I had some savings around.
Gotcha.
I'd saved, and
you didn't blow it all in Italy.
No, definitely not. I had saved, and then from a partnerships perspective, I can say it was both a game of chance and luck at the same time. I was fortunate that at the time Discovery was starting their former division, which was Discovery Business Insurance,
gotcha.
And they were on a drive to get new intermediaries in. And fortunately, one of the development managers I had worked with in the past, when I was working in my father's company,
uh-huh.
he was like, oh, I heard you're back and you're working on something. Discovery is an amazing platform that they are signing people on. And we jumped on that, but I can tell you it wasn't an easy journey.
Yeah.
From a credibility perspective, you're a 24-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You just started your business. It's tough. You're right up during COVID. You want to focus mainly on SMMEs. What are you writing? I remember the first month, our commission stub was 352 rand, and I was like, did I really come back for this? Is this even going to work? You know, so it was a tough first 6 months, but we built on, man. The great thing was that...
And now your commission stub is?
Oh, no, we can't disclose that. But yeah,
got you.
The great thing was that, you know, we were resilient, and I'd like to thank a lot of the guys that worked with me personally in the beginning. They're not with us anymore at the company. We've got a new, bigger team. But we had a lot of guys who supported us in the beginning. I mean, some of my friends were in the IT space. They helped us with the initial platforms. So it was like a sense of community. So to me, that's really what really made it. And that's what makes it today for us to go out there and say, we want to build that community of SMMEs that understand insurance and the value of insurance.
Got you. And maybe let's just wrap up with that, just to get some clarity, because the market that we speak to on a daily basis, excuse me, often highlights the fact that insurance is a grudge purchase. Mm-hmm. And so much more so, I guess, with tough economic times, right? Interest rates have gone up. We've seen cumulative cuts of 75 basis points last year, but that's unlikely to continue. Inflation, there's a threat to go up. It's all about Trump, tariffs, trade wars, kuningi. And people are under pressure. And I'm keen to understand, when you communicate specifically with young entrepreneurs, because just looking at the sectors you take care of, medical, restaurants and hospitality, and I think the content creators one also stands out for me so significantly, because it is a career path that people have taken very seriously, have invested their time, effort and resources into, but perhaps have not done enough to mitigate and protect themselves from a risk point of view. How is it that you communicate the importance, the value proposition of insurance, and not just getting the right cover, but getting the right cover through you?
Yeah. So how we communicate the message is, you know, it's a concept Chalimanga, the late Chalimanga, spoke about. It's called inverting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of telling people why they need something, you make them understand them why them not having that thing, what can really, really go wrong. So in the essence of content creators, you're looking at people who invest heavily in the equipment that they move around with. They're moving around with camera lenses that are 100,000 rand, cameras themselves, MacBooks,
100%.
And they're traveling all across the country to shoot content, mm-hmm. to shoot videos, campaigns and so on. And we forget the realities of the country that we live in, not only the country, but the world in itself. You could be traveling to Kenya, you could be traveling to the States, and your bag gets lost in transit. What then happens to that equipment in itself?
Mm-hmm.
So we barely think of that. Or you could be shooting and somebody accidentally passes and, let me say, drops your lens and the lens cracks. So, you know, it's seldom that you have 100,000 lying around to go replace that. And that's where insurance brings the value to say, look, for all those mishaps, we're here saying that that little $500 that you could be giving us every single month can ensure that your photography business, you know, goes on without a hitch. Because in essence, where, let's say you run a studio, photography studio, you've got equipment, cameras there, God forbid it floods, and then there's an interruption in your business. We pay you for the interruption and also, obviously, for the equipment that was damaged.
Yeah, very true. And that's important for us to also remember that and bring it closer to home for entrepreneurs. Before we close off, I guess I'd like to get your number one immediate thoughts on, you know, what you need as an entrepreneur right now, because we never know who's listening. There could be a funder, there could be a supporter, there could be another insurance provider, there could be someone who's a youth looking for a job. How do we get in touch with you, and what's the one thing that you need as an entrepreneur for your business right now?
So the one thing that we need, obviously, we need clients. We have a target.
Of course, as all intermediaries have.
We set a target. We're about 130 clients now. Our target for
both
this year.
Small business as well as individuals?
Small businesses.
Gotcha.
130 small businesses. That's our key focus. We're aiming to get 1,000 SMMEs covered by the end of the year, adequately covered. So, and obviously with that, we're going to need support in our scaling. And I'm very grateful to our underwriting partners. They're giving us a lot of support, all of them, even those that are not on the list. Big thank you to them. The products are amazing. And how people can get a hold of us, they can go on our website, www.entryshore.africa. On there, there's our email address, fastquotes@entryshore.africa, and they can also reach out to us on our social media. My personal social media, Junior Mlondi on Instagram and Twitter, and then on Twitter and Instagram we have the Entry Shore Africa page, the official pages, so they can reach out to us on there. And yeah,
I am intrigued to make sure that we also acknowledge where it all started. The founder of Tropical Eden Brokers, Mr. Morgan Mlondobuzi.
Yes.
What are your words for your dad?
Now, to my dad, you know, I'd like to say, you know, there were times where I didn't understand why he was so hard on me. But today I stand here and I say thank you. I'm the man that I am, mostly because of God and him. And yeah, he always saw something in me that I never saw. I always tell my friends that my dad has this thing of throwing me into the deep end,
yeah,
knowing very well that I can swim, but I think I can't swim. But he's like, nah, man, don't worry about it.
You'll be fine.
You'll swim. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. I'm reminded of that. There's a poem with a line that says, you'll be a man, my son. So on that note, thank you so much for your time, Junior.
Thank you
really
very
appreciate
much.
The insight that you've given us, and like the competitive advantage that you're providing as Entryshore, I guess, to the other players in the market, the Hippos and many others who also contend within your particular space. So thank you again and all the best going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Junior Mlondobuzi, founder of Entryshore, joining us this evening on Ekasinomics to give us some insight into his business, how it is that he's using technology as a digital disruptor and enabler to enhance the level of access of insurance to both businesses and consumers. So really making sure that he provides a competitive advantage to many of the platforms that we've become familiar with, like Hippo. It is 7 minutes now to 8 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.